Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you would like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
We're going to start in, I'm going to get to 1 Peter 4, but we're going to start in Luke chapter 19. Not quite yet there, but that's where we're starting. And that's what Luke 19 looks like right there. That is where we're starting, but we're not going to get there quite. Hey, next week is Resurrection Sunday. Is anybody a fan of the resurrection?
Yeah!
I'm a fan of the resurrection. The cross was good. I'm happy about the cross.
Amen.
Really happy about the resurrection. Amen?
Amen?
Really happy about the resurrection. The death was good. Resurrection is better. I hate to say it. He's not on the cross any longer. You know that, right?
That's right.
You know, he's alive forevermore. We'll talk about that in a minute. I've got about 9 things going through my head right now, but I'm happy to see you amazing looking people.
Yeah.
Smartest folks in Boca right here. Luke chapter 19. Let's start there. You ready? This is talking about Jesus. Again, a central figure in the New Testament. Says he entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and he was rich. That's just like, isn't that good? You can't even say that about people anymore. He was rich. That means something though, right? Verse 3, Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was and was unable because of the crowd. For he was small in stature. He was a wee little man. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry, come down, for today I must stay at your house. And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. When they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, he has gone to be the guest of a man who's a sinner. Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half my possessions I'll give to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I'll give back 4 times as much. Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house. Can you say amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I am seeking Jesus in this day and age. I don't know about you, but it's easy to get over familiar with Jesus. As crazy as that sounds, it's easy to forget who he really is and what he really did and what he really wants to do. It is... It's easy to get so familiar with the Bible, and the Bible says that we become so familiar with it that it loses its power. And in this time, I don't know about you, in this 21 days of prayer, fasting, personal devotion, I'm really asking God for a new hunger for him. I am, if nothing else specific, I am crying out for a new hunger for his presence and his power. I am rededicating myself to my purpose and our purpose, and that's to bring the presence and power of God to people in South Florida. I'm going to say it again. To bring the presence and power of God to people in South Florida. We want to bring the presence and power of God to people in South Florida. And amen. I'm hearing an amen even from the children's ministry. I just believe that's prophetic, that the rocks will cry out if we don't. Amen. No one's stealing Noah's blessing right there. He said, ain't no rock gonna praise me. Thank you, Noah. Amen. Amen. Thank you. That ought to be enough now, though. No, I'm joking. I hate dead religion. Bad. I hate dead religion. I'm just going to be honest with you today, and this may not be good preaching, but I'm just going to be honest. I know the Bible says to rejoice with those who rejoice. Sometimes people tell me about their church experiences, and it's hard for me to rejoice. It's really hard. I mean, it's really a challenge for me, Mike. I mean, and I'm like, I know how to smile and say the good stuff, but I'm just like, man, everything you told me was great. Imagine if we added Jesus to it. What might happen if we have all these people with a Bible together and we actually brought Jesus into the service? What could actually happen? That would be awesome. Wow. And I'm not upset with anybody who uses aromatherapy or oils or any of that stuff, but it's amazing how many believers are unbelieving that Jesus will actually heal them. They got more faith in smelling an oil than they do in actually the laying on of hands with prayer and the anointing of oil. I like oil, and if you sniffed something that smelled like roses and it healed your diverticulitis, I'm happy for you. But they don't believe in healing prayer, but they believe in healing aroma oils and therapies. And I'm like, sweet Jesus, what separates the believers from the unbelievers? And we got a whole wave of unbelieving believers in the church today. And I'm just like, there's got to be more. There's got to be more. We need in South Florida a demonstration of the presence and power of God. The presence and power of God. The presence and power of God. And I'm not talking religion. I'm not talking calling something that isn't happening like it is happening. I'm not talking name and claim it. I'm not talking fake it till you make it. I'm talking about real, demonstrable power. I'm talking about the God who calls things that aren't as if they were. I mean, I'm talking God invading the natural realm. Yeah. This is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about in the natural realm. And I like church. I go there for a living, you know. I like it so much. I got a job doing it. You know what I mean? Like I'm a big fan of church, Mike. I really like church. I'm a big fan of church. But the term is kind of broad these days. It's kind of broad these days. I want the power of God in my life. I want the presence of Jesus in my life. I want the Holy Ghost to be visible on my life. I want my life to be different. Amen. And Jesus did everything already for that to happen. Yeah. We just have to want it. And so as I'm reading the scriptures, as I'm in this time of prayer and fasting, and I'm looking at the Bible, and for me, I'm just going to be honest with you, sometimes I read the Bible, and I get like the presence of God is so strong, I feel like I'm on fire. I'm not going to lie. And other times, I look at it, and I just get depressed, because what I see there isn't in my life. Yeah. I see the promises of God, and I'm like, I got a deposit slip here, Lord. How come I'm not getting any withdrawal? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. How come? And what we have to choose, just like the song where we're declaring you're good, we have to choose, like, there is a reality that's greater than the reality that I see. Yeah, come on. Yeah. And God is good, and he's a healer, and he's a deliverer, and he's good. And if I don't see it in this realm yet, doesn't mean it's not happening. I need to get his realm into this realm.
Yeah.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah. All right, let me back up a little bit. Where Jesus is, God's perfect will is happening. So I need more of Jesus where I need more of Jesus. Does that make sense? Right? Man, he's got endurance, man. That boy's got endurance. You got to admire that in a boy. He could be like a marathon runner or something. I am not tired yet. He's been honing that craft for months. Hallelujah. All right. I'm looking for, and Jesus healed them all. That's just like, if he wants to heal one, he wants to heal them all. He's no respecter of persons. Are you hearing me? And I'm tired of not seeing him heal them all. So as we look at this story, we see Zacchaeus, and you got to understand the times these stories are written in. Now, Zacchaeus was a tax collector, right? And what that means was, the obvious part is he collected taxes for the rulers. But he was also a rich man. Why is a rich man working for the government? Because he got rich saying, okay, your tax is $10, you got to pay me $12. And he stole it, and he kept the extra $2, and if you don't pay it, he puts you in jail. Yeah. Right? That's uneven scales. It's an abomination to the Lord, right? If you're getting rich off of people saying, this is what you have to do to be righteous, but I'm going to get rich off of it, that really upsets God. When you put barriers in the way of people being righteous, he dislikes that. Yeah. right? He really, really, really dislikes that. And so Zacchaeus heard about Jesus. He heard about Jesus, and so many people were looking for him, he couldn't get close to see him, right? You following this? And so Zacchaeus climbed a tree. Now, I don't know why he climbed a tree. I don't know what he thought he'd see in the tree, but he climbed the tree. And Jesus, back then, the priests, like they were, the only way they could show themselves to be righteous is to act righteous. Because there wasn't any real righteousness. There was just acting righteous. Right? If you will study this and understand this, then you'll understand what's happening in the Middle East even more. It'll be more clear. Because what happens is when you get radicalized, you have to act more righteous and indignant about unrighteousness than other people. Because the only way you can test your righteousness is how indignant you get about unrighteousness.
Right.
Okay, let's say Billy Bob Joe over here, right, stumbled in his walk. And say Billy Bob Joe is the head usher, right? Billy Bob Joe's the head usher, and he stumbled. What are we going to do to Billy Bob Joe? Well, I need you guys to believe that I believe in righteousness, right? And so I got to say, well, you know, well, Billy Bob Joe over here had a stumble. And, well, we believe God is forgiving. He's gracious. But we're just going to work with him a little bit and give a little. I'm telling you all of Billy Bob Joe's things so you know that I'm righteous. I had to sit him down for restoration, which is contradictory. I had to sit him down so that we could restore him. And, you know, Billy Bob Joe, bless his heart, you know, he had that little problem. And, you know, I got to shame him publicly to let you know that I believe in righteousness.
Yeah.
Right? And now somebody else says, well, I really feel like, you know, I fell to that sin. It destroyed my life. The pastor should have been harder. And so now old, you know, Deacon Flip-Flop over here wants to be somebody big. And so he's like, Billy Bob Joe was, he was the head usher. And the Bible says that, you know, when he done cover them, that other may fear. And he sat him down, but if it were me, I'm not even going to eat with him because the Bible says you're not even going to eat with people who are unclean. Oh, well, oh, no, maybe they don't think I love Jesus anymore. Well, oh, gosh, what am I going to do? Oh, I better go tell Billy Bob Joe that he's got to sit in the back of the church. No, I'll get even more righteous. You got to find a new church until you work things out, and then you can come to church once you work things. Wait a minute. Hold on. I don't think that's how church is supposed to work.
Right. Hello.
This is radicalization. This is what's happening in Islam. They're trying to rush to see who could be the most radical, and they found a way. I will blow myself up.
Yeah.
You can't top that one.
No.
You just... Right? Like, yeah. It'll go crazier, trust me, but it's just, that's this radicalization where you refuse to operate in grace. And so they said to Jesus, you know, we all are showing our righteousness by being mean to people who aren't righteous. But he's being nice to people who are unrighteous. Clearly, he's not righteous. And Jesus is like, I don't know if y'all know this, but your opinion to me doesn't matter at all.
Yeah.
I did not come here to impress any of you.
Hey. Amen.
And as a side, if you can learn to live that way, life gets better.
Amen.
Life gets better. And so, you know, I just want to be right before God. I want my wife to like me. And my kids, you know, I feed them, so I'm not too worried about that. I want you to hear what I'm saying here. My goal is to be right before God.
Amen.
As people speak into my life, I'm not looking for them to be buddies. I'm not looking to be pals. I'm not looking for them to tell me, you know, be the father I never had. I'm looking for people to speak into my life and let me know, hey, Carl, this is great. Not so great over here. This is, okay, great. Praise God. I want to work these things because I want to be right before God, right? And I want to be sensitive to the voice of Holy Spirit. But I want to be like Jesus in that I want to live righteously and really not care about the litmus test of people.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to live up to the litmus test of people. Now, I'm trying to gain favor with man and with God, right? Just like Jesus did. But so that doesn't mean you can be mean and say, I don't care what people think about me. I want to be a nice person and let the chips fall where they may, right?
Right.
And so Zacchaeus was in the tree, and Jesus says to Zacchaeus, hey, I'm going to come over to your house and eat. Why? I don't know, but not for nothing. Zacchaeus was trying to find God.
Yeah.
Right? He was climbing a tree. He was trying to find out. He went just a little bit farther than the other people to really find out who God is. Now, here's what I want to show you in the story, and this is what I want to talk about. Let's start in verse 5, if we could. Luke 19:5. He says, When he came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I shall stay at your house. And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. When they saw it, don't ever listen to them. They don't know what they're talking about most of the time. Amen? The nameless they that whispers in your ear, what are they going to say? They don't matter.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes. The voice of they in your ear, right?
Yeah.
Don't listen to anonymous emails. Anybody comes to you and says, I don't know if you know what they're saying. I don't care what they are saying.
Yeah.
Give me a name and I'll talk to them.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm just going to believe that you're lying to me. Is this, am I, I've been fasting, so I'm a little on the edge today. I'm a little on the edge. I'm sorry. I'm going to be done in about 20 minutes. I tell you what, there's churches where the pastor lives like a slave and they answer anonymous emails. If you can't talk to me, and it's the people who don't support the church anyways who do most of the complaining.
Yeah.
Amen. See that? Amen. The kids know. Don't listen. Listen, in your life, you report to those who support.
Yeah, come on, Pastor.
You report to those who support. Those people don't support you. Why you would put any weight in their opinion, I have no idea. People don't believe the best in you who aren't hoping the best for you.
Come on.
You got to learn how to flush their opinions. They come with a little, just like, I'm sorry, I have to go to the bathroom now. A lot of refried beans. I think this is just going to add to it. It's got me active. I got to go now. You just have a double flush while you're in there. What they said. This is crazy right now. I don't know what I'm talking about here. I think I need more nutrients. I don't know. Somebody give me a power bar. I don't know. I don't know, man. You just, people. Living like a slave for people who don't care about you to begin with. That's dumb. I don't make no kind of sense. So, I want you to see this, though. I want you to see the heart of Jesus. Jesus tells Zacchaeus, we're going to go to your house and eat, right? Hurried down, came down, received him gladly. Verse 7, when they saw it, they began to grumble. They, who cares? Verse 8. Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half my possessions I'll give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I'll give back four times as much. How did that happen? How did he go from a tax collector who steals from people to enrich himself, uses his favor to enrich himself, to someone who all automatically is convicted and begins to repent? It begins to be generous. How did that happen? How did that happen? It wasn't a teaching. It wasn't a summer at the movies message series. It wasn't religious law. It was the presence of Jesus. Jesus came near and conviction entered his heart. No one had to trick him into church. No one had to trick him into the gospel. No one had to get clever with him. No one had to make sure, I better make sure I get this done in time for him to go to Chick-fil-A. Like I know it's closed on Sunday. I get you. But Christian chicken, it's the best. There was no tricks.
Yeah, come on.
There was no condemnation. It wasn't rude to him. The presence of Jesus came near. And as the presence of Jesus came to his house, he was convicted. Like, oh my, wow, this is all unrighteous.
Yeah.
My whole life is unrighteous. I want him to stay. How do I keep this righteous one near? I better get rid of the sin. I need to begin being generous. It automatically in his heart began to well up. And the problem with any move of God is, removes of God get studied, and they get written down, and they get examined, and they turn it into a formula. And other people use in a formula what was born by the Spirit. And they get it down to a place where you don't need the Spirit anymore. And you can start producing results that look very similar to what God produces, except it's not what God produces. You start telling people how to react to God. You start telling people how they need to think. You start telling people how they need to love. You start giving them instruction on everything. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is not leading. And what we need is the presence in power of God to convict hearts, to convert hearts, to move in South Florida. This is what we need. We need the presence and power of God. Say it with me. We need the presence and power of God. This is what we need. This is what you need in your life. This is what I need in my life. This is what we need. I'd love to have another teacher, another spiritual father, another big brother, another. I'd love to have all that and all the books and all the podcasts. I'd love to have it all. But what we really need is the presence and power of God. What I really need is Jesus. Now, people may guide you to Jesus, but what you need is Jesus. Church may tell you about Jesus, but you need Jesus. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. We absolutely need Jesus. And we can look through the scriptures and see all the formulas of what we should be doing, and that's good. And all the formulas of what we should not be doing, and that's good. But all of that should help us to be aware and recognize the presence of Jesus. Yes. Because I tell you what, he is moving in our midst. And we need to be looking for him. He's moving in our midst, and we need to be looking for him. Amen?
Amen.
And I am determined to catch him. Anybody with me?
Yes.
Anybody with me?
Yes.
Anybody with me?
Yes.
Look at this. He starts reacting to the presence and power of Jesus. Jesus says to him, today salvation has come to this house. Who wants salvation to come to their house?
Yeah.
Who has some family members you'd like salvation to come to their house?
Yeah.
Who has some coworkers? I'd love some salvation to come to your house. Got some friends you grew up with and you'd love salvation to come to their house.
Yeah.
I would love it. I would love it, 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 love it. And I am bound and determined to get more of it. Amen? So here we find ourselves in 1 Peter. As we work our way through 1 Peter, as we look through this heart of Jesus to come to people and convert them. That's really his heart, to convert. And we don't need crafty tricks. We need the presence and power of Jesus. We need it in our church. We need it in our lives. We need to carry it. And so Peter is talking, he's in 1 Peter 4 here, and he says, starting in verse 3, which is where we're at, says, for the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lusts, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In all this, they're surprised that you don't run with them into the same excess and dissipation. And they malign you, but they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Hallelujah. That's sobering right there. And it's easy to look at that and look at rules, but what I want you to see here is the first thing I want you to think about and write down in all this is, you know, it's time to live with purpose.
Amen.
It's time to live with purpose. Living a selfish life is childish. It's childish. Selfish lives are it's childish. It's fleeting. You can't restore anything. You can't take any of it with you to heaven. It's all passing away. It's all passing away. Amen? It's all passing away.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's time for us to live lives of generosity, to live lives not thinking about how can I get my kicks off today? How can I just get my fancy tickled today? We've got to stop living for the today.
Yeah.
It's time to grow up. 1 Corinthians 13, Paul said it like this. Says, when I was a child, I used to speak like a child. Think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. And I, one of my greatest frustrations as I father young men spiritually is young men who won't put away childish things. I can't tell you how frustrating I find that. How men who won't live like men who, and I'm not a misogynist. I believe that everybody's equal in the kingdom, but I believe we have different roles. I believe a husband and wife are completely equal. Amen. I figured I'd hear more ladies at least, but I just feel, I mean, unless they don't believe men are equal, I don't know. Like, we're just playing along with all that passage, Pastor. We know the truth. If it weren't for us, nothing would get done. All the ladies said,
amen.
Yeah, you know it's true, fellas. That's why I said we got roles. We go with ideas, you get stuff done. No. No? Okay, no. No, my wife said. No. Yes, ma'am. Hallelujah. But there's a covering that men provide in the home. That doesn't mean boss. That means if the enemy's entering your home, don't point at, you know, look at this woman you gave me, Lord. All right, that's what Adam did. Look at this woman. It's this woman you gave me. Like, no, I brought her a man for a reason. Right? Be watching the windows. Keep the door locked. Why are you letting stuff in your house? Right? And so, you know, Paul's talking about when I was a child, I did all kind of stupid stuff. And I just, you know, when I see young men still doing stupid stuff, I get frustrated. I'm going to be honest with you. I just get frustrated. It's like, man, I believe better for you than that. Why would you do that again? And young women, same thing. Like, why are we still in this pattern 5 years later? Why are we still doing this? Why the first 100 times that didn't work? Why are you still doing it? And if I can just be honest, why don't you have a job that pays better? Why aren't you working harder? Why aren't you working more? Why? You know, I found something. I'm just going off here, honey. You gotta give me a 5 minute sign and I'll just wrap it up. You know, I've been fasting and praying. I've got all kind of stuff just bubbling. Am I the only one? I found when you want financial breakthrough, the Lord normally does it through your job. Jeez, I need a miracle. He's like, I'd sure do one if you go to a job. I can't find one good enough. Well, some's more than none. Get any job, you're going in the right direction. And then get more job. I need more money. Get more job. I need some extra money. Get an extra job. I can't afford to tithe. You can't afford not to tithe. That's 90% blessed. It's better than 100% just figuring it out on your own. Amen. Hallelujah. Children don't understand living with a higher purpose. Children don't get it. Kids don't get it. They just don't get it. They don't get why we're not eating ice cream at 10 o'clock at night. They don't get why we have to actually, you know, bathe. I don't feel like bathing. We feel like you bathing. We're living for a higher purpose than what you're smelling like right now. Kids don't live for any bigger purpose, right? They just want what is going to feel good right now, right? And so Peter's speaking to some of this stuff. He's speaking to it. He's like, you know, he's like the time, you know, he's talking to believers here. You know, the time for, you know, being drunk and carousing and these abominable idolatries. I know you think you're getting somewhere. This is sabotaging the plan you're trying to go on. I know you like the rest. The time for rest is later. Later.
Amen.
Later. Now's the time to work. Now's the time to work. You fellas know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's why they call it work, not hobby. Yeah. Hallelujah. Go ahead, Pastor, preach that. Second thing I want you to see here in this scripture as I'm trying to get you out of here early today. only believers can discern spiritual things, right? And so here we are, the ones who are like, you know what? I have a purpose in my life. I have a plan. I want to be a carrier of the presence of Jesus. I want to live clean. I want to live free. I don't want anybody living in my brain but me. So many of you got so many other people living in your brain, just taking up space. Just they're not even paying rent, right? They just freeloading on your brain. Squatters in your psyche. And I'm like, no, right? Like it's I'm trying to go somewhere and I know you're not supporting it because you don't know what God told me. You don't know where God said I'm going. You don't understand that I'm living for a purpose. You don't understand that I am looking for Jesus in my life. You don't understand that this doesn't mean anything to you, but I see what God is doing right here. I understand that you're going, you know, you bought a $30,000 boat that you finance, and you're financing every part of your life, and you're going fishing every weekend or whatever the hobby is. Yeah, you got a, you know, $12,000 gaming rig. I get that, you know, that you can't afford and your wife can't stand you. I get that. I'm trying to build something bigger. I'm trying to build something bigger, right? I'm trying to build something that will last, Right? I'm trying to build something that will endure. I have an actual purpose in my life. I'm trying to go somewhere. Right? Right? Like, I want to travel. I don't want to lose my job to travel, right? I want to be able to afford to travel and come back and my life is still good. Right? I want to raise, you know what? Raising children takes actual work. No, I'm sorry. Raising children well takes work. Oh, Jesus. I'm just going down all kind of roads right now. Ralph, I just get frustrated sometimes. Do you understand? I get frustrated, Henry. Like, if you're not going to raise your kids, what you're saying is the prison system will raise them. I'm like, nope, I think I'll be good enough to do that. Or the school system. You want the school system to raise your kids? I don't want the school system raising my kids. I don't. Hallelujah. I'm going to leave it at that. Hallelujah. I know you're in different financial places. I don't want to, I want to live my life on purpose. Right? If your kids are in daycare during the day and you have to work and all that, and you only have a couple hours with them at night, make that count, man. Make it count. Not like, oh, I'm tired from work, I'll let the kid do that while I'm playing video. No, make that count. When you take your kids somewhere, keep them with you. Don't let them run around and be crazy. And everybody you know wishes you would do that. Hallelujah. Did I say that out loud, honey? I'm sorry. I'm spicy right now, Ralph. I'm sorry. Oh, 7 days, Jesus. 7 days. 7 days. Hallelujah. Here's the problem that Peter's talking about here. You have a purpose, and people are bad-mouthed. Why do you got to go to church every Sunday? Come on, man. What do you mean you're not going to drink? Remember, and I used to be in sixth grade, and I used to be in ninth grade, and I used to wear my hair that way. Remember that? Remember how you used to wear your hair? We don't do that anymore. Why? Because I'm not that anymore. I'm not that anymore. That's who I used to be. That's not who I am now. And guess what? 5 years from now, I don't want to be this person. I know you're the same, and it's bothering you that I'm not, but I'm trying to be different. I'm trying to be different, right? Nobody wants to hire, 16-year-old you at 25. Right? Hallelujah. And I don't know if you know this, fellas, but every woman is marrying what she considers to be a project. Every woman, come on. Am I lying, ladies? Come on. Am I lying or am I telling the truth? Oh, they don't want to say anything. They didn't disagree with me, fellas. I just want you to hear that. They did not disagree with me. They are marrying you, trusting that things are going to get better. They are marrying you, expecting that you are going to increase and improve as a man. All them raggedy clothes that you wear, they're expecting all that to get thrown away. With the sweat stains in it. They're expecting you to get married and all that's getting thrown away. She's going to do laundry one day. You're like, what happened to that shirt, honey? She's like, I don't know. I don't have any idea what happened to that. Check. New and improved. You guess we got to go shopping, baby. I don't know. Buy some clothes that were made in the last 5 years, maybe. I don't know. The Echo stuff has got to go. But let me say that. I'm telling the truth, fellas. I'm letting you know. I hear the women. I hear their cry. If only he would grow up, right? I hear it. They're expecting us to be men. Go figure. They like expect us. Like, well, she should love me who I am. She does love you for who you are today. Shouldn't want that to be the same you 5 years from now. Like today, that's today's you. Tomorrow's you should be better. Are you with me here? And this is what Peter's talking about. Peter's like, y'all living like there's nothing, like there's no destination here. You're living like today is all that counts. Today's all that matters. Today, whatever's happening today is all that really, and he's just like, that's very, very, very short-sighted. And then Peter, you know, he kind of gets a little biblical on him here, right? He kind of gets a little, I hate to crash your drunken carousing, but he says, hey, number three, we're going to give an account. We will give an account. We will give account. Let's look at this, 1 Peter 4, 5. Now, I need you to see this. This was late in Peter's life. Jesus died and was resurrected and is in heaven for a long time. This is to the New Testament church he's writing. He says, they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. I wish that weren't in the Bible. I wish the Bible said, hey, guess what? All you drunken fools who blaspheme the name of Jesus, one day we'll all have a good time together in heaven. It just doesn't say that. Let me say it this way. You know, I know it's uncomfortable when that person that you talk to at Walgreens, you know their life is a mess. I know it's uncomfortable. I know it feels uncomfortable to tell them that there's a place where the presence and power of God is, and they go there in their life. I know that might make you uncomfortable. Just let them go to hell. I mean, I just died for them, but whatever. As long as you're comfortable today, that's all that really matters. All they really care about is that today you weren't inconvenienced. That's all. I mean, come on. That's all I'm really interested in, is that you don't have to get out of just thinking about you your entire life. Just think about you. That's, oh gosh, can I do anything else for you? I mean, I did that cross thing. But that was such a long time ago. I know you got saved. That was like, you know, 9 months ago. Come on. I mean, we're moving on to other things now. Bible doesn't say that, though. Unfortunately, he's like, I gave my life for you. I rescued you from the pit. How about you share that with somebody? I'm like, that might be an inconvenience for me. I don't know. Wapner's coming on, you know. I got a drinking party to go to, Jesus. I don't know if I can invite them to church, you know. Like, Hebrews 9:27. Inasmuch as it's appointed for men to die once, and after comes judgment. Acts 17:31, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man who he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. Romans 2:5, but because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you're storing up wrath for the day of judgment. That's one of the freakiest verses in the Bible right there. I use it all the time with people. You are storing up wrath for the day of judgment. I tell people that. Maybe that's just funny to preachers. He's storing up wrath for the day of judgment. Storing up wrath in the day of wrath in the revelation of the righteousness judgment of God. Romans 14:11, he says, and it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall give praise to God. So then each one of us will give an account of himself to God. Yes. What does that mean? We're all going to be believers? No, that means, guess what? Everyone's going to bow, and then we're going to give a judgment. Yeah. Like, you may not respect the court system right now, but when they arrest you and put you in front of the judge, you're going to say, yes, sir. Does that mean you get off? Nope. That means you're going to respect that judge at some point. You are going to respect that. You're going to learn today, right? Like, you're going to respect that judge. You're going to respect that judge. And I don't know about you, but there's people in my life that, like, I just think, like, man, I just need to carry the presence and power of God to them. What would happen if I can just get, you know, and that family member, you know, who has got the chaos in the house, what if I could just get them into the presence and power of God and just get them stabilized and allow Holy Spirit to begin to, I don't got to fix them, but if I could just get Jesus in the house, if I could just get them, like the goal is not to get people in church, quote unquote, but most people meet Jesus in church. And it's just really, really, really easy to give them an invitation card and say, I have a church. Yeah. You might want to come sometime. And you don't know who has climbed a tree looking for God and who hasn't. Yeah. You don't know. Because there's people out there who have climbed a tree looking for God. And they don't know where he is. I got to tell you, before I got saved, I had no clue where God was. I thought I knew. I was working off the wrong map. I didn't even know. I was like in the wrong city. I didn't have any idea. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I thought I knew all about God before I got saved. Is anybody else in that boat? I thought I knew all about him. I used to talk about him and all kind of stuff. I would think I knew something. I didn't know nothing. Then I met him. I'm like, oh boy, throw out all that stuff. You're God. Is anybody right?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. As I think about it, I don't know that I ever had anybody invite me to church. I got saved at like 26, 27. I don't know. I've had people tell me that God hated me because of my sin. I can't think of anybody who actually invited me to church. And many of you got saved because somebody invited you to church. It might have been the first person. How crazy is that? Think about this. How crazy is that? You remember that person who invited you? They're part of your testimony forever. You can be part of somebody's testimony forever. Forever. How crazy is that? I don't know, God. I'm kind of in a hurry, you know. Kind of in a hurry. No, I think we have time. I think we have time because we're living for a bigger purpose than today. We're living for a bigger purpose. And just like Zacchaeus, you know, he can't be one. He can't be one. Look at him. Look how unrighteous he is. Look how he worships money. Look how wicked he is. Look how he abuses his power. And what happens? What happens? He becomes a philanthropist. It's like, I'm going to give all this money to the poor. I'm going to pay back everybody fourfold. Because somebody just wanted to find out, hey, you know, let me just get the power of God near this guy. Let's see what might happen. Who in your life? Who in your life? I mean, I am like, if there's nothing more important that we're doing, Mike, than introducing people to Jesus. We want to get people to meet Jesus and encounter his presence and power. Are you with me? Is anybody with me? Come on up, Corey. Is anybody with me? Stand with me if you would. We're just going to pray for a second, and then we're going to go. Mike, can you play a little? Corey, I'm actually going to have you down here. Thank you, though. Listen, we're going to be done in... I'm pretty close to when I said I was going to get you out of here. This is good. We're just going to pray for a minute for lost people. Jesus said, my house will be a house of prayer for all nations. Amen? Amen. He really said that. I read it in the book. You can just take my word for it. So we're just going to pray real quick. Is that okay? Come on up here, Corey. We're going to pray right now. And we're going to pray that we can introduce South Florida to the presence and power of Jesus. Hallelujah. Give me something that'll mess with my ear hole a little bit more. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Father God, in the name of Jesus. Father God, in the name of Jesus. First of all, we want your presence.